Hey y'all, before we play this story, I wanted to tell you about our new community, The Kinship. Have you felt the urge to create lately? To start writing again? To pick your paintbrush back up? Or whatever creative activity you used to love? Or maybe you feel it's time to finally begin that film or book idea you've had for years. The only thing stopping you is you don't know where to start. Well, start with The Kinship. The Kinship is here to provide the skills, community, and inspiration to help you get out of your head and truly nurture your inner storyteller. Access workshops with up-and-coming and accomplished creatives. Perfect your craft with prompts and activities that push you to reflect and to stretch your imagination. And meet other folks like you from across the country that will encourage and pour into you and hold you accountable. When we said we're reclaiming narratives and telling stories, we didn't just mean on our podcast. We meant everywhere. Learn more and join The Kinship at youhadmeatblack.com/kinship. Hey, welcome to You Had Me at Black. I'm Martina Abraham Zalunga. This next story comes from Michi. In eighth grade, Michi lived with his very Christian grandmother, who bought him very corny clothes. And one day, he takes matters into his own hands and joined the BDs, a Chicago area gang. Here's what happened.
I want you to breathe all this in.
You're listening to You Had Me at Black. Black.
Light in the heart of the city.
Black.
Man,
black.
Listen, man.
Black.
This is You Had Me at Black, and we live, baby.
First, I want to say that those niggas ain't shitting them stories, all right? I'm not like that. Don't judge me, ladies. I know y'all ain't together. I feel the estrogen levels high. Yeah, there's good guys out here. I'm gonna tell you, I was raised with my grandma, and my grandma don't take that shit off me at all. Like, any woman I've had in my life, she on her side immediately. So I don't have the choice to say, you know, hey, I broke up with her. Why she in the kitchen there? You know what I mean? That's my grandma. She in the motherfucking kitchen. You better get your shit together. That's my grandma. So my story tonight is actually about my grandma. She raised me because my father actually failed at life, and my mom was on drugs real hard, so I was raised with my grandma. Think about my grandma, that's different probably than most grandmas. My grandma loved the hood. We were raised actually on 78th and Carpenter, one block off 79th. That's that South Side strip she was mentioning earlier, the worst strip in Chicago, from the lakefront to, I don't even know what Chicago way in. I think it's a cemetery, some shit like that. Anyway, that's where I learned to love people, on the South Side, right there is where we grew up. And my grandma was a super saint. I know some of y'all got sanctified grandmas. My grandma was a super saint. She had a seat on the second row at church. She catched the Holy Ghost, twist your ear, and finished the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? One of them, if somebody got shot on my block, my grandma was out there in the press circle with the smoke still in the air and the police on their way. We all out there. I'm out there in my church slacks and my patent leather shoes, because she had me in uniform clothes before that was even uniform. Like, that's what I wore every day. That's what started my thug-ass career. I know y'all know how I got there, but I'm gonna tell you how I got there. I grew up in the neighborhood, and all the gangsters, you know, when you was young, they was the coolest guys. You know, we're not talking about grown from that eighth grade year to when you're on your way to high school, you know, in the hood, that's manhood years, you know? So I was doing my school shopping, and my grandma was picking my clothes at the time, because I was just coming out of eighth grade. I wasn't too happy with it. And she picked these pants, actually changed my whole life. They were purple, they were tight, and they were flood. They were skinny jeans before I knew what skinny jeans was. You know what I mean? When I put these pants on, I said, I'm finna be BD to sell dope tomorrow to buy me new pants and never look this way again. I'm joining a gang for shoes and jeans. That's all it took. I'm risking my life because these motherfucking purple pants have turned a nice church boy to hard motherfucking criminals. This. And my friends knew I was a church boy. You know, my friends, we was all, you know, the gangbangs in my neighborhood, the thugs in my neighborhood, my homie T-Killer and my other homie Panuki, they was real gangsters in the neighborhood. And they was doing thug haberdashery all day. And usually when they get to the gangster stuff, I usually go home. Or I usually go, like, my grandma ain't going to let me do this. You know what I mean? I'm out. But this day, I'm out with my purple pants. They rose to me and said, you know what? Fuck that. Let's do some crime shit. I want to be a gangster. I can't take this shit no more, y'all. I said, can I gangbang enough to be able to buy myself a new outfit? They're like, hell yeah. We out here. So word got around, you know. Man, church boy out here trying to get on his shit. He trying to put some work in. That's what happened. I was out there in my purple pants, thugging it up. So the first assignment they gave me, because y'all didn't know it was organized. They said, okay, you ready to put in some work? Skinback owe us money. Skinback is this crackhead that never wore a shirt, no matter what season it was, what time it was. So we called him Skinback. Let me tell you the major stories of Skinback. Skinback had a sink on his back and jumped a whole gate with the sink. But he was known as the toughest crackhead in the neighborhood because nobody can knock him out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when he owed money, he'd get beat up. This was regular. You know what I mean? That's why they let the kids jump on him and shit at this time. So they say, hey, he owed money. Move on his ass. You know what I'm saying? Woo-wop the bam. You know how that go. Anyway. So they hitting him and shit. And he ain't fighting. He ain't punching back. And it's my turn to get up in there. So really, the truth is, I didn't want to get no hype juice on my hands or no blood or nothing, so I picked up a garbage can and threw it from a distance. You know what I mean? Now, it looked tough if you look at it, but in my heart, I was like, I'm not finna touch no motherfucking hype. And threw the garbage can, bust him in his shit. He fell all out, and I'm the first person to knock skin back off his feet. So the hood was like, damn! Little church boy that knocked out skin back, what the fuck? And I was like, hell yeah, I knocked out skin back, nigga, what the fuck? I'm out here. I told y'all you want me in this gang, nigga. If y'all put me in, I'm putting in work. they take me to the BD meeting and shit. It was a big ass deal. You know what I mean? I go to the meeting. It's serious as fuck. They all in the circle. Everybody standing in their little stance and shit like that. And I walk in the meeting. And this is how tough the fucking meeting was. Panuki, the most gangster I know in the history of gangster, more gangster than any TV gangster I know. He used to carry a big ass 38 on him all the time. And everybody knew it because he shot people and shit like that, right? So we in a circle, and Panuki was over all the people under 15 years old. It was like sub-management, you know what I mean? It was a big manager named Killer T, and it was Panuki, and Panuki was my supervisor. So when we get to the BD meeting, in the middle of the circle, some niggas, him and Panuki argue, like, Nick, you think you motherfucking tough? You only tough because you got that motherfucking gun on you. I'm just telling you a tough Panuki story. You think you tough because you got that motherfucking gun on you? He said, yeah. Panuki gave him his gun and then proceeded to beat his motherfucking ass, like beat the fuck out of him. Like, you know, like that's the toughest shit I ever, like, he get hit. Oh, this, does it make you feel tough? Do you feel stronger? Give me my motherfucking gun, you bitch ass, beat him up. And I was like, damn, I finna be BD just like Panuki, watch, ooh, I can't wait, watch. So the meeting go on, they tell, Killer T that, hey, you know, he ready to be BD. He put in work, he hit skin back with a garbage can, knocked them all on the ground. He was like, oh, you did, all right. Well, you know, I seen him out there in the prayer circles in his church slacks. I don't know if this out for him, but if this is what he wanna do, this you wanna do, little dude? This you wanna do? I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, you gonna die for this block? And I'm a little intelligent kid. I always read, always pretty wise. And in my mind, I was like, well, I do understand property value and this is not the neighborhood to die for. The high level of crime, all these bandos y'all got, that vacant lot just isn't a sale pitch. You know what I mean? This is not a good, I don't see the value rising. But I said, hell yeah, on BD. That's what I said, I had to. Panuki was right there with the gun still, you know what I mean? So Panuki gave me another gun and an 8-ball. And I was like, ooh, shit. I just started. Y'all ain't got nothing for new BDs like this. I can't start with nickel bags. Can I? I just want to steal on a couple niggas. I don't really want to I don't want all this evidence y'all give me my first day. This is fucked up, y'all. But y'all don't know, the gangsters are organized. Y'all think it's just a bunch of motherfuckers out there standing on the corner on the block doing drugs and shit. No, it's organized. They gave me this gun and this eight ball, said you work the morning shift. And then you're doing, right now, you got the night shift for security. And I was like, damn, y'all got assignments in this motherfucker? I was ready to drink 40s and fuck some bitches. That's what I thought this was about. This, I didn't know I had to have a career in this motherfucker. It's my first day, but I guess, you know what? I wanted to be BD. I got a new job, so I'm on the corner with my gun and shit, and my eight ball, you know. Happy as shit. Happy. Because when you get an eight ball, let me tell you right now, when you get your drugs for the first time, you think you're going to take the motherfucking world over. What? I was like, ooh, I'm going to get this eight ball, flip that, buy 2 kilos, drive down to Mexico, become a drug czar, murder the block, you know what I mean? That's because niggas going to think I'm weak because they saw me in slacks. I got to kill everybody that saw me in church slacks. I was in the mirror all that night on 10,000, like, because the song came out. You know, when you ain't never did thug shit and thug songs come on, you be like, ah, yeah, thug shit. But when you got an eight ball in your pocket and a gun and pocket full of stones come on, you got a pocket full of stones, I got a pocket full of stones. And the motherfucker like, yeah, bitch. Church boy ain't praying for nobody this week. Y'all better pray for them because I'm out here, boy, on everything. I'm out here. On everything. Ooh, wait till I get 2 thick hood rat bitches. I swear to God. I couldn't sleep drug deal Eve. Drug deal Eve, I could not sleep. I was so excited. Thought about all the drug shit I was going to buy that morning. I'm going to get me a big ass chain. Ooh, I'm going to get me some shoes. Ooh, watch. I was so excited. I woke up early as fuck because in my mind, it was a job. You know what I mean? I was thinking like, all these other thugs on the block, they're not as professional as I am. You know what I mean? I understand business. Nigga, I took the morning shift because I know they be sleepy and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get mine. I'm out there early as fuck, right? And I ain't nobody, there ain't no drug dealing protocol. You know what I mean? They just say, sell the drugs. That's it. Bring the real money back. So I'm out there on the corner marketing like a motherfucker. Ready Rocks. Ready Rocks. Get your Ready Rocks here, sir. Hey, good morning, sir. You all right? All right. I see your son got a new bike. I'll take that bike if you want me to. All right, get your Ready Rocks. Got your Ready. They biggest rocks on the block. Boulders for your shoulders. Come on, let's get them. Hot off the stove, fresh out the microwave. You're Ready Rocks. I'm selling the fuck out of my rocks. Like, I'm selling the fuck out of my rocks because I was excited. So at the end of the day, you know, we all get together, like, you know, we sit in the break room, which is a bando house, and we talk about our spoils of the day. You know what I mean? Everybody talk about what they did marketing wise and how the day went. If you know what I'm saying? No, it's really a talk. Like, you know, I sold some, she tried to give me some pussy for some rocks. I was like, bitch, no, give me the money. And we're like, yeah, that's right. That's a business meeting in the break room. We was in there having a professional conversation about our dope deals. So at the end of all that, we go to the mall every day. Every day we sell drugs and go to the mall and get new clothes. So this is my first time. Imagine, I'm still out there in my purple pants. You know what I mean? That's why I sold drugs so hard, because my mission was to buy myself a new outfit on my first day of dope dealing. So I got my new outfit, and I bought me a pullover coat, because I made enough money to buy a pullover coat. So I got a whole new outfit and a pullover coat. You know what I mean? The pullover, the Texas Horn coat, and it had a secret inside zipper part. I was like, what? They put this in here for me to stash my rocks in? Give me this coat. A coat with a rock stash in it? Get the fuck? What? I'm a dope boy now. I got a rock stashing coat. I came in the house late, thugged out. You know, thugged out is when you accept to be in the gang and you really feel that shit in your heart. So I walk in the house beady as hell. My grandma's still saving Santa fast. She got all the church music on, loud as hell, sitting on like, when my grandma mad, everybody go to their room, but she on the table, at the table right there with a Bible, big ass Bible, sitting there just like an after school special. And I walk by BD as hell. Where you get the coat from? My inner BD was like, mind your business. It ain't about you. But I didn't know that came out my mouth, right? I didn't know you need to mind your business came out my mouth. So she stood up. And I, you know, at the time, I wasn't scared because I'm like, nigga, I just bust a motherfucker in the head. I just, what? All kind of thug is some shit today. So she stood, looked me in the face. grabbed the coat from the bottom and pulled up, snatched my arms right up, boom, took the coat right off me. Like I was a little whole ass nigga, you know, just woof, fuck this coat. And I'm sitting there, you know, I ain't tear up really, you know what I mean? Like, I was tough, like I was like, oh, that's what you want, but in my mind I was like, you gonna take my coat? Yeah. It came out a little bit, but not like that. It was kind of, oh, you gonna take my coat? It's my coat. I worked hard for that coat. I wasn't thinking about the re-up money and the extra little drugs I had left over in my secret stash pocket. You know what I mean? I was thinking she'd never find it. It's a secret pocket. She didn't go through the pocket. She just felt for a lump. She found the lump in the coat, took some scissors, cut the coat in half, cut the dope and the money down in the toilet. Oh, it caught the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to save you from the streets, Lord. I'm not going to take my baby. Lord, in Jesus' name. Caught the Holy Ghost, but I was sitting there beating his head like, Granny, we were safe, but you just cut up the BD money, and they told me something happened to their dope or their money. And you always told me to tell the truth. So I'm gonna tell them what you did. I'm gonna tell them you cut the dope and the money up. And I might have to bust your head with a garbage can. I might have to bust your motherfucking shit, Granny, for fucking with the BD's money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I went to bed that night, like, I trying to build up the courage. Like, you know what, tomorrow, I'm gonna have to jaw my grandma. You know what I mean? He might be like, look, stealing your grandma, I'm gonna shoot you. And I might be like, Granny, you know what I mean? In the name of, you know what I mean? I might have to, Lord protect you right now, because I'm gonna knock your ass out. You know what I'm saying? I was in the mirror, amping myself up. You know what I mean? It wasn't like pocket full of stones. It was like, oh shit, man. Folks gonna make me kill my grandma tomorrow, watch. Y'all don't understand. We talking about 79th and Carpenter. I don't know if anybody from 79th over here, anybody, 179er, see they didn't live. Nobody survived. Not a one nigga, Panuki gone, T-Killer, all, none of them niggas around. But at this time, 79th was Father Flager marching on the block, blood stains on the concrete, pit bulls loose, dirty babies, crackhead pregnant women. That was the block. That's what we did. It was real. Fights going on and nobody looked at because it wasn't your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, when you in the hood and something happened, you got to know how to manage your motherfucking business. That's what the block was about. Shit happening. Crimes. You better not be a witness. You better not be like, oh, shit, I see it. Then be like, oh, well, bring your ass over here to the ass whooping. So the next morning, the whole house is terrorized. Everybody's like, oh, shit, what the fuck? So my grandma get me and take me to the bank. When I walk to the bank, I'm like, okay, oh, she gonna get the BD's money. She better got the BD's money. Shit, this BD ain't no joke. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, she gave the money in. Shit, problem solved. I go back to being BD. I sell more rocks today. We roll up on the block in the station wagon, church music blasting. She get out of the car. So which one am you work for? And I thought my grandma was going to be scared because the block was like this, you know what I'm saying? Packed, you know what I mean? I thought she was going to get out there, like, you know, just go on over there, talking. No, she was like, which one of them you work for? Staring motherfuckers in the face, like, which one of y'all want it? I'm thinking she's strapped, you know what I mean? She's strapped with nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all she had on her was God in her heart. So she took the money and pinned a note to my pocket. Said, go tell the young man what I told you to tell him. Hey, Panuki, BD to the world, blub. My grandma had said I can't be BD no more in Jesus' name. She told me to say in Jesus' name because they couldn't do nothing to me after that. That's what she said. So he get the money, count it, go over to Killer T, and Killer T read the note. My grandson is covered in the blood of Jesus. I was trying to look hard, but it was hard tearing up and, like, you know what I'm saying, and looking tough. So he's like, man, your grandma come on the block with this fucking station wagon. I told y'all motherfuckers somebody love this nigga. Get this nigga off my block. I ain't got time for this shit. Don't fucking touch him because they gonna fucking call the police and fuck all our day up. Shit is going good. Get the fuck out. I better not see you on this fucking block no more. And I was like, damn. So I ain't BD no more. Fuck it, I done busted it in. Fuck it, I turn around. I go back to the car And my grandma was sitting on the car the whole time, like watching everything, like, you know, making sure I did what I was supposed to do. That's why I had a little tear in my eye, because I didn't know what her angle was sitting there watching me. You know what I'm saying? So I walk towards the car. She turned around. You know, she got her back turned to me, turned around real quick, turned back around with a whole extension cord. A whole, y'all, I'm talking about an old, some of y'all got real grandmas. A whole extension cord unplugged with and just brought it back here. You want to be a gangster, but you peeing in the bed? What about them doodles stains in your drawers? Ain't you scared of the dark? If I ever catch you in the gang again, I'ma kill you, motherfucker, and anybody out here. And I'm getting in the car and shit, crying and shit. I'm like, all my, I disrespected all my gangster doing a whooping. I ain't no Benny. I ain't no gangster. I don't want to be in the gang no more. She tearing my ass up, just making me say all the disrespectful shit about myself. I get it back in the station wagon. She like, now say bye to the folks. So, bye, folks. But I wasn't BD no more. The rest of my childhood, Panuki still cleared me, and my homie T Killer, you know, he was like, you know what I'm saying? I told you it wasn't for you. He kind of came back as we got older. Like, nigga, I told you the shit wasn't for you. I'm glad you got out. And my point of my story is to say, we need to bring ass whoopings back. We need to bring back ass whoopings. They can save a life. They save mine. My grandma can save yours. Thank y'all. I'll meet you all. Peace out.
This episode was mixed and mastered by Miles Dotson. Purposely Awakened is our national media sponsor. Their publication launched in the summer of 2016 to bring awareness to issues affecting the Black community and to promote Black businesses, campaigns, and movements. They fulfill their mission and purpose with socially conscious images, apparel, and content that promotes positive change within the Black community. You can find them at purposelyawakened.com and connect with them at Purposely Awakened on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Tribe Chicago is our Chicago media sponsor. The Tribe is a digital media platform showcasing innovative content to reshape the narrative of Black millennials in Chicago. Their original works in journalism, documentary, and creative writing capture the multifaceted essence of Black Chicago from our point of view. As an independent, alternative news source, they unify Black Chicago millennials in the common purpose to create a safer, more vibrant Chicago. You can find them at thetribe.com, that's T-R-I-I-B-E, or on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Thanks for listening to You Had Me at Black. If you want to hear more stories like this one, leave a review.
You're listening to You Had Me at Black.